to Dunkinry the Six.
So that we could now get the proper rest that was warranted, because we were coming quite worn out, really. And we now, in the gun line, you met very few other units. We became insular within ourselves. It was only an occasional contact with another union. If you went back to draw ammunition from the ammunition depot, you'd meet people where within wherever the ammunition dump was, you'd meet the ordnance corps bloke issuing the ammunition. But what we would, what they tried to do, officially, the troop commander allowed this, was to go back, for instance, ammunition dump near Perugia, within about 6 miles of Perugia it was. So a convoy of four trucks would go away, with two men off of each gun, cut the chaps off of the command posts, collect the ammunition, and then go to Perugia and park in the car park for the day. Have a day's leave there. By about 6 o'clock, back to the car park and back to the unit. So that we did get a bit of leave this way. And we would meet blokes on leave. There was no question of going on leave, officially, anywhere. Later on in the piece, they set up the brigade set up a leave, took over a hotel in Rome, and a 4-day leave system was run, but not everyone got to it. We didn't stop static enough so that everyone off the gun could go back for a 4-day leave. The next one they set up was at Florence, whereby chaps who didn't get to the Rome one got to the Florence one. I myself had the 4-day one in Florence.
What did you do whilst you were there?
The cooks had gone, they took this hotel over and really took it over as a leave hotel. It was a hotel. Our own cooks drew rations for the number of men there, and you literally had 4 days to yourself to go out into Florence, go on the booze, come back, sleep. You're free to go and come as you like for the 4 days.
Have you got sightseeing?
I myself was interested in art, so I did get into the art galleries. Very, very impressed by it, as well as having a drink. And, of course, the Casa di Tolleranzas, I should say Casa di Tolleranza, the Ace of Tolerance, brothels, were open to us, and I myself, I visited these.
So the galleries and so on weren't damaged?
No, very good indeed. Florence had very little damage to it. I don't know if they declared it an open place, because they did roam, of course. I never got back to Rome myself, not at this stage.
So, what was the payment in the Casa di Tolleranza? Was that in tins of bully beef as well?
No, it had come down to money now. I think it's something like 200 lira or something like this by this stage, you know. I only visited them once anyway, there in Florence. Well, we'd gone up past Florence, way up past Florence. And we pulled out of the line there. There was very, very little action where we were. Lake Trasimeno, we'd gone through that. Beautiful lake that was, very impressive to us. We pulled back to an airstrip, aerodrome. I don't remember the name of it. We thought we were going to have a good time and go back for some leave. But it transpired that the day after we got there, quite a few of us were formed into a party and went away for onto the airstrip itself for a rehearsal of the King visiting Italy, visiting the troops Italy.
George the Sixth.
George the Sixth, yeah. As I say, it was one day rehearsal of it. The next day, the event actually happened. It was only artillery chaps that was on this, for some reason or other. There was a Scottish mob with bagpipes.
Did that mean much to have the King visit you?
not really. I think we were all cynical about this, you know. No, it didn't mean anything at all, really. In fact, it was an amusing incident. We'd had this day of rehearsal, it was quite boring. Stand up, this car come by with some Land Rovers, and they wanted to get it off back. We're quite brained off with the day of rehearsal, so that when the day actually came the next day, he came along, and we were on the right. We were the senior regiment of the brigade, so we were on the right of the artillery units that were on the brigade, something like three different units, you know. Well, on our right, this London Scottish was a anti-aircraft regiment who had bagpipes. So they were the musical context of the parade, the military side of it. And they came along. There was Jan Smuts was with him. I think this impressed me more than anything, to see Jan Smuts. I read quite a bit about the Boer War. I knew that who he was and what he was.
So was he some kind of heroic figure to you?
Well, not an heroic figure. He was... the British soldier always got this, be able to make an hero figure of his enemy, one of his enemy. And, of course, Jan Smuts were our enemy in the Boer War and had led one of their commando columns. But of course, he was also quite pro-British, Jan Smuts. So to me, myself, that's why I was impressed with him. And when the day that actually happened, that he came along, he sat up on the back of this open tour, King George, heavily made up, far more tan than we had. From Desert Campaign and the summer in Italy. We'd heard that he stuttered a lot, or I had, and as he came along, the bagpipes started and away they went, and when he came to us, he was trying to speak. He sat there stuttering. By the time he got it out, he was sort of halfway along, and he was saying, "Who are they?" That's what he was trying to say. "Who are they?" Meaning the bagpipes, you know, because no Scottish troops with kilts, just this unit with bagpipes going. He finally got out, "Who are they?" Someone told him that it was an itinerary London Scottish, one of his aides. And as he passed, then it was three cheers for His Majesty the King. Three cheers for His Majesty the King. We had quite a lot of Welsh boys with us, and a quite pronounced Welsh boy, quite really said, "Can I put it bluntly in your table?"
Yes.
"Fuck him," in Welsh accent. And that's how we all felt, you know, because we'd been buggered about. We thought we were coming back for a nice rest. me fucking about for 2 days on this bullshit, as we would have looked at it. And true enough, we went back to the guns from there, and the next day we were back in the bloody lines. So, you know, we weren't impressed with King George VI's visit. So the next thing that happened, big mysterious move, we moved back at night, come back to Florence, and crossed over to the Adriatic coast, rejoined the 8th Army, British 8th Army. And we were, throughout this stage, acutely aware that we were detached from the 8th Army. We had this terrific pride of being part of the 8th Army. And we're now detached to the Yanks, the American 5th Army. who we didn't, rightly or wrongly, have a lot on time for the Yanks. We admired them for their equipment. And at one stage, I remember, well remember back south of Casino, as I say, we were, at this stage, we were still in khaki drill. And we had the pleasure of going to one of their shower units, which, whereby, the British Army had no shower units. We had no shower units up through the desert, that's for sure. Whereby we were down to at times just having a pint of water a day for all purposes, washing yourself and drinking. And we went into this shower unit, went in one end where they took our dirty underclothes off of us. Had a good shower, lovely shower. Even supplied you the towel to dry yourself. Came through the other end to get issued with new underwear. You know, this was remarkable to us. But unfortunately, we didn't come across many shower units. I think that was about only once or twice this happened to us. So, as I say, we come back, moved overnight across to the Adriatic, and come back under command of the 8th Army. Monty, of course, was no longer now with the 8th Army. Just north of Naples, Monty left, I think it was north of left. Also, the 51st Island Div, we knew that was going back to England. to us support troops, we were very fond of the 50th TT Division, the Northumberland and Tyne, Geordie Division, which had come up through the desert with us. They went back to be part of the troops for the invasion of Europe. We ourselves, at that time, had hoped that we would go back. We knew that a lot of troops were going back to the UK. Our battery commander paraded us because the rumours were going wild that we were going back to the UK to train as came back to the troop. It wouldn't be a parade as such. We didn't parade. But he got us all together back. And he said, I want to squash these rumours of that you're going back to the UK as part of training for invasion of Northern Europe. He said, I'm going to squash them because you are going back to to UK. He said, and I can tell you where your port of embarkation will be. It's going to be Hamburg when the war's finished. So, you know, that squashed any rumour that we're going back to the UK. In other words, we ought to go all the way out through Italy.
what month would this have been about?
This would be about...
the autumn?
Oh, no, into winter. Into winter. We landed in September. It had to be November. November. Yeah, November. Christmas, our first Christmas in we were at a place called Sorabella, a place called Sorabella. Again, I don't know what the river was. There had to be a river holding us up, you know. Our Christmas fare was quite good. The cooks had put on a good meal because we were neighbour. In the desert, we used to have individual cooking. We had no cooks in the desert. We used to cook ourselves on our gun detachment, get our daily ration, because there wasn't much cooking to it anyway. It was only bully beef and baked beans and things like this. Very, very poor fare in the desert. Very, very poor fare. Twice a week we had dehydrated food. That's dehydrated meat, dehydrated cabbage, dehydrated spuds, and dehydrated carrots. That was twice a week. You knew that was going up through the desert. but now our cooks had come back to cooking for the whole troop. And were doing marvels. They were really giving us a good food. The first 2 weeks or so at Salerno was on compo ration, first time we'd ever experienced it. It was the kind of food that they'd developed ready for the invasion of North Africa. It come in a pack, 48-hour pack, and it consisted of tin rice, tin salmon, meat and vegetables. It really, even down to 7 cigarettes a day. We had a cigarette issue overseas of 50 cigarettes a week. So you got 7 a day. In these packs, you know, chocolate, sweets, we just couldn't get over this. Tin coffee, tea, tin tea, you know, it really, really was good. After that first fortnight or so, because it was purely for the invasion purposes, you see, and was an experiment, as you can say, ready for the invasion of Europe. After that, we came under American rationing, which was very generous scale, but to us, their K rations, very spicy. We ate it, and we thought it was good, but it did affect us, stomach-wise. Very, very spicy. Their hash and all this, you know. So, to get back across into the Adriatic.
Right.
And we deployed on the Gothic line. Again, a river, Jerev fallen back to a river, created defensive lines, which most of the rivers in Italy had flood banks, huge flood banks, something like 20 to 30 foot high flood banks, which were ideal for him on the northern side to dig into as defensive positions, and he was just master at it, he really was. And we supported the Canadians, crossed over to support the Canadians for an attack across the river. And of course we now knew that we were under whatever it was, we were under the command of a British commander as opposed to a Yankee commander. You know, the American 5th Army came under at Salerno, was under Mark Clark. And we were very critical of him, very critical of him, as opposed to Montgomery. I suppose, you know, we got used to Montgomery being, whether it was propaganda or not.
What were the specific criticisms of Mark Clark?
That he would attack a position, had sufficient troops to attack it, but not sufficient troops to hold it. And this comes down to planning. There's no doubt about it. Monty, throughout the desert, kept everyone informed of what was going to happen. Gave you a battle plan. The day before the action, you knew what was going to happen. This didn't happen with Mark Clark. We just went into Salerno, and from then on, it was chaos. And invariably, it seemed like this with the 5th Army, that they would attack a position and then get knocked off of it. I seem to jump backwards and forwards, don't I?
That's all right.
I'd gone into hospital, actually, and I forgot this, you know, until I'm talking about it. I'd gone into... This was at... the Grigliano, before the Grigliano, the 3.7 gun firing on a low angle, they used to kick quite a bit on the elevation. And two of the gunners that we had were real short. And to reach the footplate, because they were so short, we'd put two wooden blocks on them. Strapped two wooden blocks to them, so that, something like 6-inch wooden blocks, so that they could reach the foot pedal.
Strapped to their feet?
No, onto the footplate to sit on. You had a seat, and you had this adjustable footplate that you could move backwards and forwards to, according to the size of the person, to put his feet on for traversing round, you know, 360 degrees. And they really, you know, they really whip round. So with your feet hanging, you could catch them. And these wooden blocks were on there for them to sit comfortably on. And we'd swap around in the detachments, particularly when we got to only half of you being on the gun crew at night. And in my case, sitting on the first gun, my feet were up like this, you know. And the gun fired and the angle was kicked and one of them caught me onto the knee and it swelled up tremendously, so much so that I could hardly walk. So I got whipped back and finished up in a Canadian hospital. And this Mont Camino, 2-1 Guards Brigade, but still supporting 2-1 Guards Brigade at this stage. They put in, this Canadian hospital come out from England, got torpedoed in the med, lost all their kit, landed at Naples, got whipped up to Caserta, and told, open this hospital up. It was an old army, Italian army barracks. One side was the Yanks, one side of the square was the bank, Yanks in barrack blocks. This side, the Canadians, who had no equipment other than what they could get from Ordnance Depot in Naples. Open up and be prepared to be full up within 24 hours. As I say, I could hardly walk. I was taken in on a stretcher. Got in there about 2 o'clock in the morning. And got bedded down. And it literally was, by 9 o'clock that morning, was full with guardsmen, mainly casualties off of Mont Camino. Whereby they'd taken the position, Mont Camino, but by the time they took it, they didn't have the resources to hold it. The Canadians, they had literally no wartime experience at all. They'd been stuck in England for a couple of years. They'd done Viet. And these 201, they were quite characters. They'd been all the way through the desert. In Wave was dying, 201 Guards Brigade. And quite a lot of them are still there, you know. And within 2 or 3 days, I was up and about anyway. The swollen had gone down. They put ointment on it, strapped it up, and gone down quite a bit. And a staff sergeant, the Canadians paraded all up patients, get up. And told us, he said, it's come to our notice that some men are going over the wall, getting over the wall. He said, well, he said, I'm notifying you, the practices have got to stop. He said, I'm warning you that our sentries are armed and are prepared to shoot. This Scots Guards corporal, bloody great bloke he was, put his hand in his battle dress jacket. We're still in battle dress, there's no hospital blues or anything like this. And pulled out a Luger. And he says, in broad Scotch, he said, you notify your sentries, some of us are armed and we know how to bloody well use them. and across the comparison between us, and you couldn't blame the Canadians, I mean, they'd landed straight, you know, hadn't been torpedoed and all, survivors come straight ashore. They had limited sources. But across the barrack square with the Yanks, with everything, their canteen, oh, you could just go up. Carton a Lucky Strike, please, you know. And they'd just go on to you. And fair play, they give them to us as well, because we were British soldiers, made no odds, you know. You can just get what you like. Needless to say, we came there, you know. yeah, they're very generous. Give them their due there.
Is that what they were going over the wall to get?
No, they were going. They were going down in Caserta itself. We were smack in Caserta, and they were going down to the bars and the brothels, obviously, you know. Anyway, having gone back, get back to the Adriatic.